Welcome back to the Why Not Something Crazy podcast. I'm so excited that you're tuning in this week. And this week I have a very special friend with me, my friend Amanda. It's been a while since I've did a podcast, but I'm super excited about what we're going to be talking about this week because I feel like a lot of Christians my age, younger or older, all wonder, like, what is God's will for my life? Mm-hmm. And, like, how do I step into that? And I'm scared to step into that and just kind of, like, navigating that question. So my friend Amanda, tell me a little about yourself. Like, who are you? Who's this girl on my podcast?
Yes. So yeah, my name is Amanda and I am a Raleigh native. There are not many of us left. So proud to say that I've lived in Raleigh for 41 years. Yes. I'm sharing my age. I look like I'm 22, but, so yeah, I live in Raleigh and I, love to travel. I go to Hope Community Church. That is where Jenna and I first met. Mm-hmm. I mean, time is crazy. Maybe 2 to 3 years ago at this point.
Yeah, something like that. I think it was like a summer nights, wasn't it?
Probably something. Yeah, because I was helping out with young adult ministry and we got connected. And then I led a like young adult college small group for a little while and Jenna was in that. And we just developed a friendship. And so, yeah, we love hanging out, eating tacos together.
Doing nerds nights, having very competitive
love playing nerds. Yeah, Jenna. Yeah. Jenna's pretty good.
Not as good as you. You're
okay. Okay, you're not wrong. Yeah. But yes, I love this girl and I'm honored to be on your podcast.
I'm so glad that you said yes when I texted you to be on it. So we'll just get right into it. The question that I ask every single person that comes on this podcast is, what's the craziest thing you've seen God do?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. So I would say that it was taking a girl who thought that she had her life all planned out. I knew exactly what I was going to study in college. I was going to do education and I was going to come out in 4 years and be a first grade teacher. And God totally flipped the script. So I did go into Meredith College studying education. I just always wanted to be a teacher. From the age of 12, I had babysat nonstop. I had 3 younger cousins that I helped to care for, and I just loved kids. And so I just figured that the best way for me to use that skill was to be a teacher. Mm-hmm. So I would play school all the time when I was a kid. In high school, I took a class called Teach Prep. And so we actually got to go into a classroom every day and basically like help teach. So I went into a first grade classroom and helped to do, you know, centers and lessons and like loved it. So, you know, all signs seemed to point to being a teacher. So mm-hmm. I was like, all right, this is what I'm going to do. So I get into college and, you know, studying education for the first 2 years. And then the end of my sophomore year, there was just this sense that I was not supposed to continue the path to being a teacher. I was like, all right, well, that was my only plan and not really sure where to go from here. And so that's when, God kind of totally uprooted what my plan was. And he showed me that he had a different plan.
And that his plan was greater. And that
That's right.
Yeah.
In the moment, I didn't necessarily maybe trust and believe that. But the hindsight, you can look back and see how God's hand was all over it in his sovereignty.
Yeah. So I guess just like, when has been a time where you were unsure or scared to step into God's calling?
Yeah.
So kind of like you're totally uprooting your original plan.
That actually, that piggybacks really well off of, kind of where I left off with, okay, so I'm 2 years into college, I've studied education. I don't think I'm going to be a teacher. So now what? Mm-hmm. So I basically needed to choose another major and ideally get through in 2 more years. That would have been 4 years total. So thankfully God led me to be a communication major, which I didn't know at the time, but it actually suited me for what I'm doing now, which I'll get to. And as always, like, God knows better than we do. And so he knew that this communication major was actually going to help me in my future career. So declared communication major, thankfully was able to plan out and get, you know, all my classes through in 2 years, which was such a blessing. And
did a
then,
lot of classes like at least like overlap for you or
so not
not
with the
really?
communication classes. So I had also done a psychology. I was going to do like psychology and education originally, and then kind of dropped the education, but then was able to have like a psychology minor. And so some of those electives kind of overlapped. So I ended up graduating with a communication major, psychology minor, and really still did not know kind of like what was I going to do with my life and kind of what plan did God have for me. So, you know, I just had to kind of move forward and trust that, all right, let's see, you know, where this is going to go. So the summer of 2003, which was right at the end of my sophomore year, I went to a thing called Passion, which I know that you know what Passion is.
Yes,
so
I love
for all of
Passion.
Those watching and listening that don't necessarily know what Passion is, it is a conference for mainly Christians, but anybody's open to come. It's for ages 18 to 25, and it's just a couple of days full of, you know, worship through songs, through messages, through prayer. And
was the 2003 one, was that like the weekend one or like the one day?
So this was, it was called One Day. So we were in Sherman, Texas, and we camped out on a huge field. Somebody had donated this huge plot of land. It was 20,000 people, and we camped out.
Wow.
And there was a pretty bad storm, and so thankfully nobody was seriously injured, but that was the end of Passion Camp Out. So now Passion is held in like stadiums, mainly in Atlanta, sometimes in Dallas. They just had one in South Africa.
I know. I was like looking at the Instagram.
International Passion.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I attended Passion, and it was the last day, and 20,000 other people, but also just like me and God. And there were two women who were preaching, and they said, you know, who's going to go to Africa? Who's going to go to Asia? Who's going to go to Europe? And I'm just thinking like, not me, not me, not me. And it wasn't that I didn't want to serve God. I loved God and like truly did want to serve him and, you know, his will for my life. But I just had no interest in going international. I had done tons of domestic mission trips and loved doing missions, but I just had no desire to go international. And I was actually like pretty scared to go out of the country. And so kind of in that moment, I just kind of surrendered to God and just felt him kind of say in my heart, next summer, I want you to go somewhere internationally. And I was like,
stepping into
The unknown and
the scary.
Yes. So
sometimes,
you know,
saying yes to God is scary.
It is unknown, out of your comfort zone. Mm-hmm. So I was like, okay, God. So then, you know, have to kind of start, you know, thinking, praying, because for college internships for like that next summer, you really kind of have to apply in the fall, and then you get accepted, and you know, there's lots of kind of paperwork and maybe support raising, all that jazz. So that summer, the summer of 03, after Passion, I actually did the summer mission trip in Miami for a couple months, which was an incredible experience. And then when I got back, I started my junior year of college, was doing the communication major, researching different, you know, college mission summer programs, and found one. And I had a little bit of an interest in Africa. So I was like, I guess I should apply to go to Africa. So number one on my application, I wrote Kenya. Number two and three, I left blank. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I was just bound and determined that I was going to Kenya.
Yeah.
So the organization calls me and they said, congratulations, you've been accepted. We're going to place you in Bangkok, Thailand. And I'm like, last time I checked, like,
that's not what I said.
Bangkok, Thailand. Definitely not even in Africa.
Yeah.
Totally different continent.
Like, this like is what Asia. Amanda wanted. Nope. This is what God
right.
wanted.
So I was like, ooh. So I was pretty shocked, and I was probably pretty quiet on the phone, and, you know, I was like, let me think about it and pray about it. So I really wrestled, and I was like, I don't want to go to Thailand. But I kind of went back and read through my journal from the previous weeks, kind of leading up to waiting to hear if I had been accepted. And I had written in my journal, here I am, Lord, send me. And I was like, darn it, sent me to Thailand. So I said yes out of obedience and like a healthy fear of the Lord. Not that I was like scared of God, but out of like a reverence and just trusting and believing Okay, God, this is totally from you because it wasn't like I even put Thailand as number three and like, okay, well, they gave me one of my choices. I had never even considered Thailand. I had to look at a map to figure out where it was. So knowing that it was from God gave me a peace that truly did pass understanding. But at the same time, I was still scared. So holding the tension of like, I'm scared, this is unknown, this is gonna be way out of my comfort zone. But God, I trust you and I have a peace that passes understanding. So kind of holding the tension of that. And I think a lot of times when we do choose to trust God and try to live out his will for us, we're going to experience that tension. Like, that's okay. That doesn't mean that because you're not 100%, oh yeah, peaceful rainbows, butterflies, unicorns, then that it's wrong. No, you're going to have lots of feelings. So I said yes to Thailand and just trusted that, okay, God's gonna, equip me. And so he really used the experience of taking me away out of my comfort zone for 2 months. And then ultimately that kind of launched me longer term into the career that I have today. So just,
So, like
yeah.
what you were saying about the career that you have today is how did saying yes to Thailand and where God was sending you, how did that help shape you into who you are today and what your ultimate career is today?
So to kind of back up just a little bit, I'd mentioned I love kids, help care for my cousins, kind of babysat since I was 12. So going into college, there was this like babysitting book basically that you could kind of flip through. Families would send in their requests and you would kind of call and say, hey, I'm a freshman at Meredith College. I see that you need a babysitter every Monday, Wednesday, Friday from 9 to 12. I would love to be your babysitter. So I would go sit and flip through this book. And I just kind of like called families and built up this network of families. So by the time I was a junior, I had about 20 families in my personal network that I would babysit for fairly, consistently. So when I told these families that I was going to be leaving for 2 months to go to Thailand, they were like,
We
our
need a
kids are out of school.
babysitter.
Like, we need you more than ever. And I was like, well, going to Thailand. I'll see you in August. So what I did was I just kind of got my friends together and made this like list of sitters. And the families, were really grateful for that. I was like, here, call these sitters while I'm gone. Like, I'll be back in August. So go to Thailand, come back in August. And the family was like, we love the babysitting list. This thing is like gold. You should really consider like selling this list. And I was like, you really think people would pay for it? And one mom, she was an entrepreneur. She was like, Amanda, this list is gold. You've got to sell this list. So I sold the first list for $5. So August to December of 2004, I sold 100 copies through word of mouth. People would mail me a check to my college PO box. I would like check my mail and it would be a check for $5. And then I would mail them back this like paper list, babysitting list that they would just call the sitters. So from August to December, I made $500, which I was like, fun. This is a nice little side hobby. And then in January, a lot of the sitters actually needed to come off the list. New sitters want to get on the list. So I created a new list, charged $10 for it, January through April, sold 100 copies. So at this point, that was like my senior year. And I was then graduating in May. And I just was still kind of like, I really don't know kind of what the next step is. I was contemplating like, is there a longer term position in Thailand? I had, kind of explored just some different like nonprofits. And thankfully, my parents, they were like, why don't you live at home for a year? Kind of get on your feet, see if this is something that you can kind of make into a business. So I'm very, very grateful for them. They live in the Raleigh area. And so moved home after I graduated and kind of figured out, okay, what are some additional services that I can offer besides just the list and kind of create this into a business. So thankfully, after a year, I was able to kind of fully move out and run the business. And here we are 20 years later. Stellar Sitters is it moved from initially it was Amanda's babysitting service. And then for a little while, it was called Sitter Connection, and then I transitioned to Stellar Sitters probably about 10 or so years ago. And just the way that it all came about, if I had not gone to Thailand, I would have just stayed in Raleigh and I would have continued to babysit for the families that summer. Mm-hmm. And there would have really been no reason for me to ever make a list of sitters, because the reason that I made that list was because I was leaving. Mm-hmm. And so I just don't know that there would ever been this point where it was like, that would launch me into this actual babysitting service. And God could do anything, so maybe there could have been a different path, but I see very clearly how God used that to launch me into the babysitting service. And I love my job, I love what I do, but then also because it's like a service-based, I can run it from pretty much anywhere. So it gives me a lot of flexibility, which is amazing, because over the past 20 years, I've gotten to do multiple like short-term mission trips. I've gotten to go to India and Haiti and Ukraine, which has just been amazing to, you know, just get to serve God in all these other countries that, looking back, I never wanted to even leave the country. And now I've, gotten to go to all these different countries and just see how God's at work there. And then even just the flexibility of a friend will have a baby that lives in their state and she needs some extra help, so I can go fly to Rhode Island and stay for 3 weeks, help care for the baby while still running my business. And so just to see how not only has God given me like a career that I actually love the work that I'm doing, but the flexibility that the job allows me for my personal life and how I'm able to serve God with the flexibility. Like Hope has a food pantry, and they organize on like Monday and Tuesday afternoons at like 1:30 in the afternoon. Well, if I had a Monday through Friday 8-to-5 office job, I couldn't just go volunteer at 1:30 on a Monday. But because I have a flexible job and I'm my own boss, I'm able to go do stuff like that, which might mean that I'm working, you know, some evenings checking emails, but like it doesn't matter to me because I love my job. So yeah, just to see how
you'll be able to say like those little small yeses throughout the day.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Like I have more margin and flexibility in my schedule because of the nature of my job. And I mean, God knows us better than we know ourselves. And I thrive off of like my days and weeks being diverse. So I don't really like monotony. And every single day is different than me. And like, I think that God knew that when he gave me this business. And so I just, all glory to God. I'm so, so grateful that, that he just kind of orchestrated all this and that he gave me the courage to say yes to Thailand. And even just like the connections that I made while I was there, my host missionary while I was there, her name was Tara. And I just learned so much from her that summer that I still kind of carry with me today. One of the kind of main things that she taught me was focus on the haves, not the have-nots, and just focusing on like what God's given you and gifted you with as opposed to what you don't have. And that created this like gratitude practice in my life that I still practice today. And just the way that God weaves together our stories is really, really cool when we trust him.
Yeah. It just also makes me think about kind of like where I pictured myself, where I would be like, and when I was first starting college, and like where I thought I was going to be like when I left college.
Yeah.
Like my dream kind of going to college is I wanted to start my own sports brand. Mm-hmm. And like where my desire is now that God's putting in my heart is to start a podcast.
That's
and
right.
Like if I would have, like if you asked me like 3 years ago, Jenna, like, oh yeah, you're going to be starting a podcast in 2024, like 2025.
Yeah,
like,
the end of last year. Yeah.
Yeah. I would have been like, what do
you're
you mean?
Crazy.
I'm literally a shy little Jenna. That's not what I'm going to do. Like, I was not very confident in my faith at that time. Mm-hmm. And like, how am I going to be able to talk to people about Jesus? And just like the little yeses to saying, saying yes to God is what's awesome.
Yep. I love that.
But another question I have for you is, how have you overcome fear in the will and plan of God and stepping into what he has for you? And how has this helped you trust him?
That's good. Well, I definitely have not overcome it. So I don't want anybody listening to think that there's no fear in me saying yes to God. But I did kind of jot down a few things that have been helpful when, you know, I do get anxious about, oh, like, what's God's will? Like, what's he going to ask me to do? So I'm just going to kind of read these, remembering that God loves me and he has good plans for my life. Remembering that he created me, so he knows me better than I know myself. Remembering that he is for me, not against me. Remembering that he is sovereign, and remembering that God is always with me.
I like those. Yeah. If someone might be struggling or feels fearful into stepping into what their calling that God has for them, what piece of advice or like what would you tell them?
Yeah. So, basically, first and foremost, just remember that like God is a loving father and he wants what's best for his children. So I think that so many times just depend on kind of our history with God. I think that sometimes we can think that like God is this angry God who
wants things done his way and only his way.
Right. But and it's not for our good. Yeah. It's just like, you know, he's kind of up there with a finger, like, you know, punishing or like just kind of watching for us to mess up. And like that's so far from the truth. So yeah, just God loves you. He's a loving father. He wants what's best for you. He knows you better than you know yourself, and he knows what's best for you. Trust him and his perfect timing. He's never early. He's never late. Remember that he will be with you each step of the way, leading you, guiding you, and giving you what you need. He will equip you with what you need to carry out what he is calling you to do.
Even like at the times where you might not be able to feel him or you might not see him work, he is always working behind the scenes.
Absolutely. Yeah. And sometimes you just have to kind of, I say, act your way into a feeling instead of feeling your way into an action. Mm-hmm. You're not always going to like feel like, okay, like I feel like following God. Like I feel, you know, I feel joyful about this, or I feel excited or confident or hopeful. Like you might not always feel those things all the time. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, once you've kind of discerned, like, if this is from God, then just taking that step forward. And ultimately, because God is sovereign, if it's not the will of God, like, he'll close that door. Like, he will not allow it to happen. Mm-hmm. And something somebody told me one time was, there is nothing we can do to thwart the will of God. Like, we cannot stop the will of God. And so that kind of takes off some pressure of, we can't mess this up. Yes, we're responsible for decisions and we need to pray about things and discern things. And yes, but if we truly like are trying to follow God and we're taking a step of faith, it might look different than we think. We might have to, you know, turn right instead of turn left, but we can't mess up the ultimate will of God.
Yeah. What kind of like made you, when you're talking about like the door shutting, it made me think of a time where like I've kind of had that happen, which was kind of recently. And I had these two job opportunities, and you know, the job opportunity, the one I was excited about, but the other one was I was super, super excited about that I really, really wanted. And I was like, and it was crazy because I got both emails from both jobs on the same exact day, like within like an hour apart. And I was like, Hey God. And I was thinking, I was like, okay, this is a desire that I have. Like, I want to work for this company. Like, I want to do this. And I was like, okay, maybe this is God's like opening the door for me. And then he ended up shutting the door. And I was like, that hurt. Mm-hmm. And I just like, I'm still like working through that. Like, I'm still of like, okay, why did you open this door just to shut it?
It's kind of like confusing.
Yeah. But like, I say just like continue to remind yourself of he is faithful, he is sovereign, and he at the end of the day has a big plan, kind of like all the points that you already said.
Yeah, and he can see like the big picture. And so it's oftentimes not until maybe a little bit time into the future we can look back on that hindsight and maybe see a little bit of how the pieces fit together. And ultimately we won't see all of it until, you know, we get to heaven and can see the full.
He's going to pull back the entire curtain instead of just like a little peeking through the...
Yes, and we'll see how everything fit in. We're like, oh God, like that's why.
Yeah.
But until then, you know, we oftentimes on this side of eternity don't get to see the why behind the what and just have to trust, and that's where faith comes in.
So I guess lastly, is there any last encouraging or helpful thoughts that you might want to share?
Yeah, I think ultimately, I've kind of said it, but like, God wants what's best for you. And so like, his will, not our will, is ultimately what's best for us. And that might not always like feel good or make sense in the moment, but just knowing that, like I said, he created us. And so he knows us better than we even know ourselves. So we might think we know what we want, or we might think we know what would bring us, you know, ultimate joy, but he actually knows better than we do, which is like a really hard concept, because we feel like we know what we like, we know what we want, but ultimately he knows better, which is not always easy to kind of
like wrap accept. Your head about.
Yeah. But yeah, I think we just have to trust him.
I just thank you again for coming on the Why Know Something Crazy podcast.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah. Thank you guys for tuning in. Make sure you turn back every other Thursday for a new podcast, and hope you have a good rest of your week. Bye, guys.